Well, I appreciate the presence of each and every one this morning. And once again, it's like mentioned in the announcements. Once again, happy Mother's Day to all those out there who have brought forth children into this world. And we just pray that they be God's will, that they be faithful. Because that's the purpose of mankind. God didn't bring anybody into this world to perish. And we all know that He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And those was here last week, I'm not going to speak the same thing that Brother Jacob spoke on. As he mentioned in his address, if you caught it, he mentioned the Second Corinthian letter as well. But I wanted to point that out to you. The Bible says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. And I'm not saying you're determined to starve to death, but in the purpose of Paul speaking to him there in the Thessalonian letter, it was not to demonstrate the fact that if you don't work, it was a fact if you don't eat, if you don't work, you don't keep busy and you go about your busybodies and your tattletales, you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. So in other words, keep busy, work. And it seemed strange to me, but on Friday of the 4th, April the 30th, 2021, this year, not too long ago, I witnessed the news. It was a local channel, 7 or 9, had to be one of the two, seeing one of the local organizations out passing out their food. And the question was asked there by one of the spokesmen for either channel 7 or 9, do you think it was necessary? I said, oh yeah, it's very necessary. In this community, there's a lot of people hungry and there's a lot of people out of work. So the very next scene that I saw on television, a witness is having a jobs fair in this same community. And they had 40 to 50 jobs. The man said, I was sorely disappointed because we had 40 to 50 jobs paying any place from averaging $20 an hour, and they had 10 people submit requests for those jobs. So, is that the way that the Bible instructs us? If you don't work, you don't eat. We're getting in a society that's really going downhill, and brother, I hope we don't fall in their footsteps, because it's going to be easy. You know, in the same quotation there, you know, they say, oh, that's just some man's word. If you don't work, you don't eat. Well, you ever stop and think when Abraham Lincoln made that statement there in that address there following the Civil War, he said, a house divided against itself shall not stand. Well, you look in the book of Matthew and you'll see that Jesus made that quote before Abraham Lincoln ever thought about it. But he used the Bible as a direction towards mankind, how they should conduct themselves. So, we're going to look at some things this morning. In which way are we going to direct our lives? What standard are we going to have to follow after? And I'm not following after what Jake had mentioned there this morning, but we're going to look at some things that was pertaining to man's thoughts and ideas about the standard which we should conduct our lives. You remember back in the Old Testament, King Saul, of course, when he was given that the permission to be king of Israel. The reason why that happened, you go back into Judges, the 17th chapter, the 6th verse, they said at that particular time there was no king and the people done what they thought was right in their own eyes. So they approached Samuel and requested, can we get a king like all the rest of the countries around by us? In other words, here's society and we want to be like them. Well, Samuel in turn told them, if you want to look, we're not going to get into a lot of turning back and forth for the sake of time, but he told them, now go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, he talked to the Lord. Yeah, that's fine. But he said, you've got to realize there's going to be some things that it's going to be some sour grapes to you. Because he said, the first thing that king's going to do, he's going to take your sons and your daughters, and he's going to place them in, and you don't have a thing to say about it. And he goes on and on, mentions a lot of other things that's going to happen. But they still requested. So, That's what happened. But if, and it goes on, like was mentioned this morning in Bible study. If you go on and look at the standards, now Saul, you do whatever I request of you, and things will go well. And it did. So you look at 1 Samuel 15. We're not going to get into all this reading, but there are certain verses there. If you start with the 15th chapter, the first verse, down through 1 through 26. But he said there in basically in 17. That's what I want to point out. In verse 17, now it just seems like if you skim over this, you would think, well, why would you even think about a verse like that? But in verse 17, I want to read this to you. See if you get the gist out of this. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? See, there's what happens. And we're all the same. We all have that same mindset. He said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. In other words, when I was just humble. But after he was made king, he was given a position of authority, and he forgot about the one that helped him get to where he was at, that step-by-step plateau. In other words, because you go on into there, as Brother Gary mentioned, there's Amalekites. That name comes up. And he said, have you thought about those that they was a thorn in the side of the Israelites as they marched in toward Canaan land? He said, now listen. He said, you go out there and you utterly destroy them. You don't leave men, women. He said, he admits down to the suckling, like we've got some little ones in here. Get rid of everything and everybody, the camels and the animals and the asses and everything that they possess. You do it. So Samuel comes to him. He said, oh, what's that bleeding I hear? The bleeding of the sheep. And he said, Samuel told Saul, he said, you have not done what the Lord God told you to do. You and Samuel, or Saul, in turn, first thing he does, well, he says, well, I was going to do that. And then the people, they wanted this for sacrifice, not for sacrifice. Well, he said, well, it had been better to obey than to sacrifice, Samuel. So, and he goes on down, and he said, for this reason, you'll be stepping down for being the king the Israelites, but you did not obey the Lord. And that's all found right there in those few verses. The reason why, you'll find out later why I brought that up to you about him having to step down because he didn't obey the Lord. So you know that little thing, Solomon points that out though also in Proverbs 16 and 18, that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride is going to be there. Anytime you go from little to high-minded, you're getting yourself in trouble. So, you want to keep in mind these things as we get into that. What standard are you living by? Are you living by the standards of men? Or are you willing to accept God as your standard and your goals in your life? So, what standard are you guided by? Now, this has a great deal of meaning how you answer this question. It may determine where you're going to spend your eternity. Many say that the individual has their rights to him and her to decide what's right or what's wrong. Why? Because whether it's in the Constitution, it's in the Bill of Rights. First 10 amendments give me the right. Sure does. And I'm not denying that. And that's the laws of the land. And we're given that privilege as long it don't conflict with the Word of God. Because the Scriptures points that out too. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. If you don't believe what the Bible says, then this is meaningless for us to even be here. It's to determine what's right and what's wrong. And Solomon also warned them that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And he mentions that in 14 and 12, and he also elaborates on that again in 16 and 25. And any time you can see in the Scriptures pointed out when something is duplicated, it's got a lot of meaning. It's serious. Just like he said in Luke 13 and 3, and then 13 and 5, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he makes that statement again. So that has a lot of meaning. And that's the same here. That there's a way that seems right to us, but then the way is of death. We got to remember that. Man doesn't have the ability to see the end results of some of the decisions we make. If we did, we surely would not make them. But that's one of the things. Jeremiah said in 10:23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps." We don't have that ability. We have to have God to help us each and every day. And we've got to be mindful and thankful of that. Back in the time of the people in the book of Judges, they tried this approach. Like I said before, in those days there was no king in Israel, and they wanted to do what was right in their own eyes. The Bible, if you remember, in the very beginning, if you look back in Genesis, the first few chapters, it was a beautiful, beautiful setting. We can't even imagine. It was probably so close to heaven that when they started out in the Garden of Eden, that mankind can ever think about. And as you read down through the Bible, you see some of the darkest history brought on to the same people, but because they directed themselves away from God. They had it so great, but they was determined to do their own thing. I'll make you a king and him a queen, or a queen and him a king, and getting overcome. Yep, we'll do it. We'll take that apple and we'll eat of it. And that's the situation that they got into. So, we see throughout the Bible that God's anger is kindled by his people doing things incorrectly, thinking these things to be right. So in today's society, not sure where we're getting at, people of all races and all nationalities are thinking primarily of their own ways and their own rights as a standard which they can do things that they want to do it and still be united. And Amos tells us in 3:3, can two be united unless they walk together? They can't be. And we can't be of the same mindset, some thinking this and some thinking that. If you want unity, and that's what Christ prayed for, and over and over and over, unity. And you're not going to have it if you've got division and people thinking two different ways. Our way of thinking will not build a character that God appreciates. We have got to think. And the best group of Christians, I don't care where they're at, are going to have some faulty persons. Among them are some things that need to be reformed. Perfection, brethren, will not be found on this side of heaven. Tell you that right now. We're never going to have perfection on this side of heaven. When the ones get to heaven, there's not going to be no sin. There's not going to be no problems. And you'll find out that that's the place where the perfection will ultimately come. But we're going to have problems. We're going to have struggles in this life. And they're going to continue on. But we have to be mindful that you can't have the vision and thoughts and struggles that constantly takes place. So now still others agree that society sets the standard in which we are guided. If society is a standard for which is right and wrong, think of those destroyed and think in that way. The people in Noah's day, that's the way they all thought. Everything, wickedness was acceptable. But there was just one family that didn't agree on that. And in Genesis 6, if you want to turn back sometime, read it. That place was destroyed with water. And everybody other than the Nut family. And then you go back, there's another one. And Sodom and Gomorrah. Seeing that all these things was okay, acceptable, homosexuality, and any other sin that come along. And all we read about in the Bible, all that came along was Lot and his wife and his two daughters. And the rest of that Sodom and Gomorrah is gone. And that was a homosexuality thing. Yet in today's society, we discussed in Bible study, and the Wells was there, that homosexuality has been promoted. There's going to be more guidelines and things drawn up. The government's going to enforce them, and there's a possibility in the near future they will be held liable for preaching the pulpit against homosexuality. And you've got to stop and think about that. That's mankind working. But you go back, we're going to look at a little bit and compare it. Like in Romans, the first chapter, verses 21 through 32, if you'll bear with me just a few minutes, we'll read that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped, served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working with that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, ignoring the judgment of God, that they which committed such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. So here, is that, like Brother mentioned, Darren mentioned here a while back, does that describe our society today? It's getting more and more and more of that away. And I'm telling you, we're headed in a sad direction. Because if you look there, three times in verse 24, 26, and 28, it mentioned God giving them up. In other words, if you want to be a reprobate, if you want to be like this, I'm going to help you. I'll do that for you. I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about it. You won't struggle in it. I'll give you over. But he said that them that practice these things is worthy of death. And they're not going to be inheriting the kingdom of God. And yet today's society, homosexuality is going to be permitted. And if you don't endorse it, and if you speak out against it, you're going to be liable for judgment. So that's how far we're struggling in today's society. Where's your standards in thinking of these things? Remember in the days of Samuel, the Israelites wanted a king, and that, like you said, and the surrounding nations that did that, he warned them that they would soon encounter with these choices made, these mindful things. And like I say, in today's society, we are being warned that these things we're being faced with, their standard of living, what people want, we're going to endure the same choices. In other words, we have, my choice is right. I've got this, some of the things. My choice is right. Taking part in these demonstrations, these peaceful demonstrations, it ends up in rot and plundering and murder. Is that a peaceful demonstration? We don't want to get caught up in these things. That's what I'm saying. Because that's man's way of thinking. Not paying taxes. Do everything we can elude to paying the taxes. What did Jesus tell us back there when he said, render unto who? Caesar. What is Caesar? But render unto me what is mine. So taxes is inevitable. But mankind paid them down through the ages. And going to continue to pay them. Because that government endorses. And listen, we'll go on here a little while. And he mentions that. And no respect for the flag, for the country, or for the president. We don't have a bit of respect for them. Because it's openly shown on our televisions. It's every time we see a lot of these professional sports, it's awful. The way they respect it there. Okay. And these slanderous remarks. and I'm unwilling to respect the law. I talked to a gentleman's mother here just a while back. He's a law enforcement official. And his statement in the day concerning the law, he said, if a man comes at you with a gun, you're better off to let him shoot you than you shoot him back and kill him, because you'll be dead and you'll be over your misery, but you'll spend your rest of your life in prison in real misery. That's the way the police, that's the way they're looking at things in today's society. It's getting worse and worse. He said that's what the law enforcement people are now looking at, you know, how they would enforce the law. If you stop and think, people most apt to degrade and ridicule those who practice Christianity are the people who are the least familiar with how Christ would have a man to conduct his life. If you want to talk to somebody that don't know anything about it, I'll tell you one thing. They'll tell you more about the Bible than you ever knew. And most of it is negative. That's the one that speaks out. Somebody that's interested in the Bible, you have to kind of toy with them a little bit and feel them out. But somebody that doesn't know anything, they'll open you, let you know what they know about it. Paul said in Acts 5 and 29, we ought to obey God rather than the men. And also in Romans 6 and 16, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to obey, whether sin unto death or sin or obedience unto righteousness. We're not destroyed by living in this world. We're destroyed by the world living in us. That's what's going to happen. You just reverse that. So, but there are still, talk negative enough, there are still those that think that God's standard is right, because God is omniscient. He knows all things. God's way is always right. Hosea 14 and 9 tells us, who is wise, and he shall understand these things, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein. In Acts 13 and 10 he says also, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, the enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to permit the right ways of the Lord? Time and again, God's children are encouraged to do what is right in God's eyes. We're studying the book of Deuteronomy. In 6 and 18, if you look in that passage, it says, and thou shalt do right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. And he repeats that in Deuteronomy 12 and 25, 12 and 29, and also 21 and 9. So it's what I told you before. Anything that really is challenging and needs to be looked up is something like that. He repeats that same words, do right, that it shall be right in the sight of God. And so you want to, that's Moses' instructions to them there. God's word serves as a standard by which human beings determine right and wrong behavior. Paul said, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind, Philippians 3 and 6. God has given man everything that he needs in his word to determine right and wrong. So according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In 2 Peter 1 and 3 it tells us that. And he also tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. That's what it amounts to. In conclusion, don't get caught up in society's thinking and the ways that their ways versus God's ways. And you can always remember, regardless of where it was yesterday, today, or tomorrow, Jesus Christ is the same. And Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us he's the same. His things do not change. And the beautiful thing about it, way he instructs us in our living and how we should adjust ourselves in the society we're living in, whatever it might be, his words is the words that's going to judge us in the last days, John 12 and 48. What I tell you, the word spoken by Jesus, that's the word. We don't have to worry about what somebody else thinks or what somebody else does. You just think about what Jesus and God wants us to do. So, if we think we can do things that are told not to do, it would be sadder for us, violating God's standards and missing heaven. Then as it was with King Saul stepping down from being a king, it'd be worse for us if we miss heaven than it was for him to have to step down from being a king because he violated the laws what God had given him. So you want to think about that. So are we willing in today's society to use God's standard as our guidelines with all the peer pressures we're going to be faced with? Just like I said, they're going to be there. You're going to be tested. We see about these people tested back in this time's coming. Regardless of where we can't close our eyes and then we're going. It's coming. It's something. It's reality. So it's enough said. Whether we become involved and practice right or wrong, we're all sinners. That's the sad part about it. And we're told in Romans 3:23 that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, there in 6:23, Romans tells us, the wages of sin is death. So, but we can have these things corrected. We don't have to die in sin. We don't have to be separated from God. The watery grave of baptism removes gives us a remission of sin. And we're told when Jesus ascended up, his very last words of encouragement, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things of whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. And 1 Peter 3:21 tells us, baptism is not washing away the filth of the flesh. It gives us a new conscience toward God through Christ Jesus. We have that opportunity given us. And I'll tell you one thing. You go through life and you can accomplish everything. You can be a King Saul. Or you can be a beggarly woman to give all she had. There's no difference in the eyes of God. They're all fit for the kingdom that will render obedience unto Him. But you have to, that message is conveyed to us, that you have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. So we have to confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And to be buried in water, buried by baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life, no longer a servant of sin. We have that opportunity afforded us today. So we just pray that if you have a problem, and if there's a problem in your life, you've already been baptized. You know what? James tells us there in 5:16, confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So don't be ashamed to confess your faults. Just like I said, we're all sinners in the eyes of the Lord. We do things we wish we had not done. And I'm sure there's not a person in here that can't say that. But we have a God in heaven, a loving God, and He cares for us. And like I said, He's long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish. So at this time, the opportunity is afforded you together while we stand and sing the invitation song.